This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Katie Yissel and Matt Cooper. How are you guys?
We're very well, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
We are at Chelmsford and we're at the Crouch Valley, what is it, trade tasting? Not quite, really.
Wine Fair, Crouch Valley Wine Fair.
Crouch Valley Wine Fair. I've just gone around and I've tasted not all the wines, because what, there's 15 producers here, is there? About?
16 producers and probably 30, nearly 40 wines, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I've gone through and I've tasted all the Chardonnays, because I was particularly interested in that. I've tasted a few of the Bacchuses and a few of the Pinots as well. And they're quite nice. But before we get into that, do you want to tell us who you are and what you guys are, what you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm the marketing lead for the Crouch Valley Vineyard Association, and also the owner of Riverview Crouch Valley Vineyard.
Yeah, and I'm the chairman of the Crouch Valley Vineyards Association and Holland's Vineyard and Holland's Winery.
Excellent. So obviously we're going to be talking about Crouch Valley today.
Yes.
I've done an interview with Chris Buckley. He's a viticulturist. He's done a bit of planting up here. He's actually a local boy. Yeah. And he told us a little bit about Crouch Valley, but let's recap that a wee bit, because Crouch Valley is, I think, one of the more exciting regions or sub-regions within the UK viticultural scene, and particularly, and what I find interesting, is for still wines. I know there is some sparkling wines made here, but I'm quite interested in the still stuff here. But before we get into that, remind our listeners where Crouch Valley is.
Sure. So the River Crouch sits just south of the River Blackwater and north of the River Thames. It's on the east coast of England. And the Crouch Valley really runs along the north and south of the River Crouch. So it runs out from, broadly speaking, sort of Rayleigh, Southwood and Ferrers area, right across towards Burnham and Crouch.
Chris was sort of trying to explain to me badly that he felt that the river gave you a microclimate.
Yeah, it does in several ways. I mean, firstly, in terms of helping us to protect us from frost damage in the spring, the body of water that comes in the River Crouch warms the surrounding air, and it means we don't have as many frost events in that critical time around bud burst. But then crucially, in terms of rainfall, we have very little rainfall in the Crouch Valley, and what we tend to find is that the rain clouds channel down both the River Blackwater and the River Crouch. We had around 220 to 250 millimetres of rain between April and October this year. That is extremely low, even compared to most wine regions around the world. The rivers are a key part of that, for sure.
What are the styles of wine that you guys think are the key styles coming from this area?
Well, I think there's mainly Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. So I'm focused on the stills, like you said earlier. And I think in particular, the Chardonnay is what could make the Crouch quite extraordinary, really.
Yeah.
And the Pinot as well, but I do think the Chardonnay is going to be the hero of the Crouch.
Yeah.
And the Pinot in the really, really good years, I think, will shine through as well.
From a Pinot, I tasted Flint Vineyard's Pinot.
Yes.
I didn't only had a chance to taste about three or four Pinots, but I really like Ben Witchell, because I've had him on the show years ago talking about Bacchus.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a Bacchus nut. And I tried his Pinot, and I thought it was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But I was interested in the Chardonnays as well. That was my main focus here. And I would say what I felt was, I had a moment of epiphany, if you like, probably around 2000, 2001, during COVID, when I tasted Simpson's Roman Road Chardonnay.
Yes.
And I went, bloody hell, England can produce decent oaked Chardonnays that are like a light version of Meursault. And I know they're not in Crouch Valley, but that was that moment of epiphany. And I came here looking for that style, and I found that style. I mean, there's a range of qualities here, for me anyway, but there's some excellent Chardonnay, oaky Chardonnays here.
Absolutely. What we tend to find, just going back to your question a minute ago, the grapes, we're always looking for that balance between sort of sugar, acidity and phenolic ripeness. And the grapes in our region lend themselves to making still wines. By the time the acidity's dropped, the sugars are getting high and they really want to make good still wines. The Chardonnays in particular, we find there's enough fruit intensity to really build oak around it, if you like, rather than just have it overpower the wine, the flavour of the wine. So I think we've got a lot of the fruit we produce here really can hang on quite a high proportion of new oak, actually. And I think some of the wines you probably like the most from this tasting are the ones with a higher proportion of new oak.
No, I tasted some un-oaked ones as well, which I kind of liked as well. I mean, there was a range of styles of Chardonnay here, and some of the un-oaked were quite good, and some of the ones were 10% new oak. I found quite, you know, there was a couple that were 100% oak, but they only had like 10 or 20% new oak in them. And I thought that worked quite well. New oak can be quite devastating to a wine if it can't hold up to it.
Super grippy, yeah.
Yeah. But I thought they held up really, really well. How many producers are here?
16.
Here today, but how many in the whole of Crouch Valley?
Vineyard-wise, there's like 25, isn't there?
25 vineyard owners, if you like, in the Crouch Valley. It's the most densely planted area of vineyard in the country. But the grapes are exported. A large proportion of the grapes go elsewhere around the country and have done for decades, although it's not widely known that that's been the case. The Crouch Valley is still a bit of an unknown entity, even in the wine trade, which we're trying to correct.
I understand Camel Valley used to buy their Bacchus, or still do buy their Bacchus from around here.
There's a lot of the bigger producers buying quite a lot of their grapes from around here.
Yeah, what do you think that is? Is it the structure of the business here?
It's the ability for us to ripen the grapes to make the style of wines that all wine businesses in this country want to be able to make and market. And that's why there's really established relationships between growers here and wineries around the country.
One of the things Chris Buckley was talking about was contract growers here. He seemed to think there was a reasonable number of contract growers, and that's what's driving that ability for producers in other regions to buy in the grapes, whereas if you go to Sussex, maybe there's less contract growers down there, perhaps.
Yeah, but it all comes down to that ability to really ripen the fruit. And often where you can ripen the fruit may not be where you can sell the wine.
That's so right.
So I think you're probably hitting at, you know, the reason why there's a lot of vineyards here, but not necessarily many wineries, although that is changing. And there really is quite an exciting wine region emerging in this Crouch Valley region.
I think that's the angle I was trying to get to, is that Chelmsford, I don't think, is a tourist hotspot. It might be. This is my first time in Chelmsford. It seems like a very nice town. Are you a local girl?
Well, yeah, I was born and raised in, not Chelmsford, but Hockley. Our vineyard is 5 minutes from where I was born. And then I actually moved to London for uni and stayed there, but came back. And I think that Chelmsford isn't necessarily the centre of the Crouch by any means. It's where we are today for our lovely venue. We're in Holbridge, where we are, and then we have across the other side of the river, Southwood and Ferrers, okay, and Stowmarries. And the tourism will come to... There's already vineyards here that are offering tourism. Mm-hmm. But like Matt said, there are currently more vineyards than wineries, but that is coming. The wineries are coming. And the growers who have been growers for many, many years are now cottoning on and think to themselves, actually, I want to produce a wine label. And that's what's going to make us a wine region, really, is having the labels and the outside producers too, but the wineries. It all has to come together as one, and it might not have been as clean cut as, say, like Sussex that you're talking about, but it is coming, and the quality of the fruit is what is most important, and that's at the centre of the Crouch. It's the quality that we can produce here that we can't necessarily do elsewhere in the country for still wines in particular.
Yeah, I think there's a really exciting scene emerging here. I think probably what we haven't had are a lot of very wealthy backers that have set up tourist offerings. Mm-hmm. And that will come with time, and it will probably be a bit more organic growth than perhaps you've seen elsewhere around the country. But it will happen, and it is already happening. It's quite exciting, and I think the number of producers and the number of wines we've got here, the quality of the wines, we're set up really to start making a real thing of our wine region, which is what we're really trying to promote through our local vineyards association.
But you've also got some very old players, New Hall, set up in the 1970s. You know, that makes them of the modern era.
Well, absolutely. And they would be one of the very best at offering or having a real tourist offering in the region at the moment. And they're very successful at it. I think what we need to do as other producers surrounding them is offer tourists other places to go so that they can make a day of it, visit three or four wineries along the way, have a meal here, have another drink here, and really make something of it for people to come to. And that's what's emerging, and I think that's why it's exciting.
How many tasting rooms are in the Crouch?
I think there's around five at the moment. Vineyard tasting rooms, about five.
Who are they?
Well, we have Crouch Ridge.
Newhall.
Holland's wine cellar at the Prince of Wales in Stowmarie's. It's not a dedicated tasting room, but the wines are well in there. And there are other establishments around that do sell local wine.
There's like bars, restaurants, wine shops that are championing Crouch Valley wines, which is great. And also what's really exciting is there's international recognition now in the Crouch.
Oh, really? From what?
There's Jackson's, they've planted.
Jackson Estates from America.
California, yeah. They've planted, that's Marbury, that we're tasting today. There are known rings of Burgundy as well, so it's a...
What, for Pinot Noir, red wines?
For Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, more than known rings, but it's limited to us.
Yeah, there's two examples of Burgundian winemakers starting to invest in the Crouch through buying grapes and having winemaking collaborations. One is Alex Moreau with Missing Gate Fruit, and the other one is De Roche working with Danbury Ridge, making a sort of a collaborative wine. So, yeah, there's certainly interest. We hear of more, but it's a bit tight-lipped at the moment. But two examples. I went on a wine tour on the Hemelonada in South Africa. They knew the Crouch Valley.
Really?
Our neighbour also went to Napa. They knew the Crouch Valley. It's sort of amazing to us that's the case, but the word seems to slowly be spreading, which is really exciting for us.
What do you think's holding Crouch back?
Probably investment in the tourist offering. And I think that, as we're talking about, that will come. But it really does need that, I think, to drive public awareness and engagement in the wine region. I think with that investment, it could go quite a long way, but that will obviously take time to come.
At the beginning, Stephen Skelton gave a presentation, and he said that he felt that the Crouch Valley needs a PDO. And a loose PDO, he said, you know, don't make it too many rules.
Well, we have a trademark, Trump's PDO.
Does it? I don't know. Not near you, Court. I wasn't looking, but I don't ever remember seeing Crouch Valley on the label of a bottle.
Yeah, you go and have a look. It's on the more than you might realise. Yeah. But I think there have been murmurings of a PDO for several years.
You're the guys who are going to do it.
Well, the association we've set up is a collaboration of all of the local vineyard owners and winery operators. And it's been set up with a trademark behind it. So we've trademarked the term Crouch Valley for wine products, which essentially should help us protect from any misuse of the term Crouch Valley going forwards, but also give us a say in any future development of the wine region, including a PDO application. I think we want to be very careful as a wine region not to be overly prescriptive on the wine style that could or should be using the term Crouch Valley. Let's face it, we're quite new as a wine region. We don't necessarily know the best wine that we can make in the Crouch Valley, and we definitely don't want to exclude that style of wine through any sort of prescriptive PDO type process. So I think there's a lot of caution, I would say, in relation to PDO, but we wouldn't rule it out.
What about PGI, where it's like PDOs are like appellations, there's lots of rules about what can and can't be done. But a PGI is just saying, look, this wine comes from a protected geographical area, the Crouch Valley. You can have IGP or whatever the heck the UK equivalent of an IGP is, yeah, Crouch Valley on the bottle.
Wouldn't rule it out for future use, but I'm not totally sure it's needed at the moment. I mean, we have a defined geographic area that the trademark, the Crouch Valley, applies to.
Oh, does it? So it is a geographical area?
It is a defined geographic area that the grapes must be sourced from in order to use the term Crouch Valley. And the people that use it should be members of the association that owns the trademark. That's the way it's been set up. And I think that's sufficient, at least for the next several years, while we develop as an emerging wine region.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, and we've talked about Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, particularly the still wines. It's a bit of sparkling up there.
Yes.
Tried a little bit, but not really. I wasn't really focused on the sparkling. Seems like a pretty normal English sparkling wines. It doesn't seem like it's any different to, say, a Sussex or anything like that. Is there a difference between them?
We can make incredible sparkling wine around here. I think most of us producers are conscious that other parts of the country are doing it and doing it really well. I think our USP here is being able to really ripen fruit to get to premium still wine quality, and that's why we're focusing on it. But it's not what we can do exclusively.
I tried a Sauvignon Blanc from Crouch Valley earlier from, I've forgotten the name of the
producer. Missingate?
Missingate, yes, from Missingate. And I was actually quite surprised. It's not quite Sancerre, but it's got that sort of steely, minerally. It's not overly expressive.
Yeah, it's pretty good, hey?
But it's a nice wine. It'll go beautifully with goat's cheese. I think it'd be quite a nice wine to go with that. What other grape varieties are being grown in here?
There are quite a few, actually. I think, as Katie said, there's a focus on Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. And the reason for that is because a lot of us have set up and planted vineyards as contract growers, and the contracts have been there for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. There is Sauvignon Blanc. There's quite a bit of Bacchus as well. There's a lot of, there's some Pinot Gris, which I personally think makes exceptional still wines from this area, although there's not always the market to sell the wines. Mm. But the quality of the wine, I think, is very, very good. There's also Pinot Blanc, which I honestly think, I mean, you just mentioned Missingate. Try their 22 Pinot Blanc. It could come straight out of Alsace. It is an exceptional wine. And there is other Pinot Blanc planted around that makes equally good wines. It's a very sort of underrated grape variety, I would say. So there are some sort of undiscovered gems, I would say, here.
I think the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay is the main, but there are, I think, the Pinot Gris as well. Yeah. You said really, really nice Pinot Gris coming up.
Yeah, I had a couple of those.
And the Sauvignon Blanc, I think, will be the next big thing in the Crouch, honestly.
Yeah?
The ability to grow it and make really high quality Sauvignon from here. I think it will make it a bit different to the rest of the country.
Yeah. You've talked about Chardonnay and Pinot Noir being a historical thing from growers, contract growers now moving into making their own wines. The clones used, were they clones for sparkling wine or were they clones used for still wines? Because it makes quite a difference.
They're still wines and it's a mix of German clones and Burgundian clones, which is where we're seeing the success in the stills. That's what it's mainly been planted for. And that's a lot of it's been down to Duncan McNeil. He's planted a lot of the vineyards in the area, in the Crouch, and continues to manage them. And I think he has, you know, the vision that the Crouch really could be, you know, the still wine region of England. And with those, putting in those Germanic clones, which work really well in our climate, and kind of doing a bit of an experiment with the Burgundian clones, and it's turned out very, very well. Mm. Very, very well. So
there's a new German Pinot Noir, isn't there, from Geisenheim that's been planted up in the last 10 years. Is that what you're talking about by the Germanic clones?
Well, there are several. There's a lot of GM clones, those Geisenheim clones, and they've proven they're quite adaptable, really. So they can make a very good sparkling or go into a very good still. So they're quite useful clones to have in the vineyard. Combined with some other clones like FR1801 and F105S, they're more predominantly still wine focused. They really are designed to make good still wine with a loose enough berry structure so that they don't fall apart towards the very end.
Well, when the disease hits them.
Well, it always gets, you know, we're quite fortunate in the Crouch to have low rainfall, which is essential for trying to ripen the fruit without botrytis going right through into October, sometimes into November. So it's having a loose enough berry structure to be able to do that. And those clones are well suited to our climate for that reason.
With the river, Crouch River, do you get misty mornings and botrytis conditions? You know, could Crouch become a sweet wine place?
I'd never say never, but I think that might be stretching it a bit. Yes.
Okay, the old Crouch River is not going to give you the misty mornings and your botrytis wines. It's more of a grey rot. Let's get it out of here.
It tends to be, yeah, but you never know. Let's plant some Semillon and see where we get to.
Yeah, exactly. All right. One of the things when I was talking to Chris Buckley, he mentioned clay soils. And we talked about clay soils, and he was talking about it being dry and they hold on to the water, which is great, but they're also cooling. And the problem with clay soils, if they are wet, they can be very, very cooling. And in a cool, marginal climate like England, that's quite a worry. What is the climate like, you know, in terms of growing degree days and things like that?
Well, yeah, you're right. Clay soils, when they're wet, can be quite cooling. But when they're warm and dry, actually, they can be quite warming. So it's not necessarily one way travel with a clay soil. We have such little rainfall, as you said. The clay holds the moisture beneath the surface, but actually it's very dry on the top. The growing degree days we've come to expect in the Crouch Valley over the last several years are much more akin to sort of Tasmania, central Otago, than they are southern parts of England. We really are in sort of an exceptional microclimate in the Crouch Valley, which is really why we're able to ripen the fruit to premium still wine.
I suppose the big difference, because I'm an Otago boy, so I know what I grew up in central Otago, and I guarantee you might have growing degree days, but you probably don't get the same temperature diurnals.
No, that would be right. I mean, even when we were going into sort of very late September, early October this year, when we were about to get to harvest, we still had quite high diurnal shift, not like central Otago, don't get me wrong, but we had very warm days, getting up to sort of 16, 17 degrees, that kind of thing, but then also very cool nights. And I think that's really why we're able to hold on to the acidity, but also get the level of ripeness that we're looking for. But yeah, it's all degree of, you know, it's all relative, of course.
Yeah.
This is a unique wine region, but I think it is important. Metrics like growing degree days do give us a sort of a benchmark, and we can look across wine regions around the world, and it does explain why we can get to or very close to 13% alcohol naturally for a lot of our grape varieties. Other parts of the UK can't get close to that.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was talking to one guy and he was saying we don't do any chaptalization, and his wines were coming in at between 12-12.5% pretty reliably, so that's pretty impressive. Okay, Matt and Katie, thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you, Chris.
Cheers.